of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this Sunday after Nativity, we continue the story of Nativity, a part which isn't often told as much as the parts with the shepherds in the fields and the angelic hosts and the babe in the manger. We all know those things. But Jesus Christ was born in order to help us to realize our destiny, to teach us how to live and to make us capable of living that way. A little baby doesn't teach us that. Living in Christ teaches us that. So we commemorate the holy prophet David, James, the brother of the Lord, and Joseph the betrothed. On this day, Joseph and James were very much involved in this story, because when they went to Egypt, Joseph went with his sons, who were James and Reuben and Jude, and they went to Egypt for a few years. What does this story teach us? Whenever you read the scriptures, you should always be looking for, what does it have to say to me? Generally, it's going to be teaching you something about yourself, something that's lacking in you, or something that should be present in you that you must continue working on, or something that you should not do. Our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, He who created the heavens, He who existed before all things, became a babe, a weak babe, but a babe that still could have summoned to His defense legions of angels. And yet what did He do? He was meek and He allowed God's will to be done. He allowed a tyrant to try to possess Him. And He, for a time, went away. How did this occur? This occurred by God enlightening Joseph through dreams. God enlightens all of us, if we listen. Perhaps through dreams, although we should be careful not to trust dreams. Joseph was a righteous man, so when he dreamed, he knew the dream was true. We are not so righteous. I'll tell you what, you can start believing all of your dreams if you never have dreams that are bizarre or unrighteous. If all of them are holy, okay. But I think it'll be a while until we can trust our dreams, if we have that as our yardstick. Oh, by the way, I'm counting also dreams during the day, okay? Daydreams as well, all right? God guides us. God guides us in all of our adversity. A great thing had just happened. The Lord God and Savior had become incarnate. The wheels were being set in motion for the reclamation of man, for us to be revitalized, capable of salvation. Jesus Christ was going to do it. He was going to accomplish it by His actions and by His words and by His deity. But at the very beginning, there was a tyrant who thought of Him as a king who would take over His throne. And so he wanted to have Him killed. And many, many were killed in the environment around Bethlehem. I think over 10,000 were killed. We call them the Holy Innocents. A terrible thing happened right after a great thing. This is also to teach us something. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. And anything worth having will be fought for, whether you want to fight or not. Christianity is a great thing. For the human soul to become perfect, to become warm, to be whole in everything, to be perfectly at peace, to be holy in all things, is a great thing. And because it is a great thing, Satan despises us. So he will do what he can to deter us. And if he can't deter us, then out of spite, he will do things to try to hurt us. Sometimes through the agency of evil men like Herod. Sometimes through the agency of people who are not evil, but they're not quite good yet, such as ourselves, our friends, those around us. We're constantly doing things or having things done to us that are difficult, painful. This is part of being a Christian, knowing that these things are going to happen. There's kind of a new false gospel being proclaimed that's pretty much recent in this century, prosperity gospel, where if you're a Christian, somehow things will be good for you. You'll have a nice car. Things will be go well for you. You'll be healthy. All these things. Christianity is not about health or wealth or comfort in this world. Christianity is about the transformation of the heart. Now it appears in this story, somebody in Bethlehem who's looking, a fly on the wall, shall we say, would say, well, this Christ child, he's running away from someone. He's going to be on the run all of his life. He's going to have a hard life. But actually, it's not that way at all, is it? He would come back, and he would be triumphant and victorious, but in the right time. The same thing with us. Many times in our life, things seem very difficult, even insurmountable, whether they be our sins or whether they be some circumstance in our life. I actually think we're more concerned about circumstances in our life when they're difficult than our own sinfulness, and that's a shame. That's a real shame. Because no matter how good your circumstances are, how good your health is, how complete your family is, how everything is working just fine for you, your heart is still not whole. Your heart still needs much help. And if we look into our heart, we'll see there's a lot wrong with it. But sometimes when you look into your heart and see what's wrong, it's a lot. It hurts. It's a difficult thing to believe that you could really get better. As a priest, I come across this all the time. It's difficult for us to believe that we really can be completely healed, because we're in a circumstance such as the Christ child was, fleeing to Egypt with a tyrant breathing hotly behind him, wanting to kill him. And since he wasn't able to kill him, he killed a whole lot of others, hoping that one might be him. We're in that kind of situation. We're in a situation that looks dark and bleak many times. But if we follow the guidance of God, if we listen to him, then things will all work out. We'll be at peace. Jesus Christ came to bring peace, and yet, in another case, he said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. That sword must be used in order to divest ourselves from wrong ways of thinking, wrong thoughts, wrong priorities. It takes a sword to separate us from those things, and it's difficult, and it's hard. And there will be bloodshed, as there was bloodshed in Bethlehem. Like I said, the story of Nativity, that is the popular story that you see in store displays or in Christmas carols, is all about the little Christ child and the angels and the shepherds. But the little Christ child became Christ the man, who taught us everything we need to know about living. And even in his infancy, we see that Christianity is something that must be struggled for, because it's worth something. And there will be casualties. It will not always be easy. This is a message most people don't really like to hear. We don't really like to know that things are going to be hard. But things are going to be hard in order that we might have something that is very good. This is what that story of the fleeing into Egypt teaches me. With a great thing that happened, a horrible chain of murders occurred. And our Lord had to flee into Egypt, or else he would have been killed. Just make sure that when you have your difficulties and you go into Egypt, Egypt is always a metaphor for things that are sins. Going down into Egypt is to descend into sinfulness. When you have your Egypt sojourn, may it be that you come back, that you go back up to Jerusalem. And the way we do is by listening to God, by struggling, by appropriating what God has done for us in our hearts. And it's very easy to appropriate this. It's not done by learning the stories or by knowing the theology. It's known, it's appropriated by living it. It's appropriated by understanding that everything that happens to you in your life is allowed or caused by God. And it's all for your benefit. There's not one thing that occurs in a Christian's life that is not to his benefit if he has belief in God, if he struggles according to the commandments. May God help us to live lives that are open to God's calling, that we will hear him and he will guide us to the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen.